conditions. And I didn't mention my sister Harriet and my brother-in-law Tom. Glad to have them with us. Hold your hand up there. Their church was involved in a program with another church, and so that gave them the leeway to come over and be with us, and I appreciate that. Hallelujah. This has just been a wonderful spirit here tonight. You know, let me just say, we always give accolades to our singers and our musicians, and rightfully so, because they excel. But if it wasn't for you sitting on the pews, it wouldn't be the same. I mean, if it wasn't for you, they'd be singing to empty pews, and it would all just be hollow, empty. But you're the purpose. They're not singing to you. They're singing with you, and it's a joyous thing. And I was mentioning to all my relatives, I think I see Sonia. My glasses on. Is that Sonia back there, Tommy? It's a family affair. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It caught me off guard, I can tell you that. I'm trying to get recollected, whatever you call it. The 68th or the 66th Psalm is what we're going to read, and then we're going to read a portion from the book of Job. Psalm 66, and I want to talk to you on the journey to greatness. I don't mean recognition and all, but no matter what you are tonight, God is pushing you to become greater. You believe that? And the technique, the methods that God uses sometimes stuns us. But it's not the will of God for me just to be in the rocking chair. Never expanding. Never achieving. I need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this, I would not begin to tell you how many times I've spoken on this passage of Scripture, but it's not repetitious. I don't have a box in there with, well, I'm going to get number two out. There's something in here tonight that God wants us to know. And let's begin reading with verse number 8. Bless our God, ye people. Make the voice of his praise to be heard, who holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. Listen to this. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. But thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place, a large place, a prosperous place. I want you to look at verse number 12. How did they get to that? The clue is right there in the verse. The material is right there in the verse. How did they get to that wealthy place? They did what? Two things. They went through the fire and through the flood, through the water. I believe I'm talking to people that want to get in that wealthy place. I don't mean material wise. I'm talking about where your faith is strong and it's just. So now would you turn to the book of Job, and we're going to read some verses from chapter 42. And we're going to read verse number 10, verse 12, verse 16 and 17. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friend. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. He went through the fire. He went through the water. But he come out a winner. I just got a feeling tonight, no inspiration from God about this. Just I got a feeling tonight that I'm talking to some people that's in the fire. And I just got a word for you. You're going to come through the fire. Does that resonate with anybody? Help us, God. All right, let's look at verse number 12. The Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. That's something optimistic. Whatever your beginning was, God said there's greater things. Am I talking to anybody? For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. And would you look to verse number 16? After this, you've heard me preach on that. After this, after all the stuff, after all the ups and downs and the ins and outs, after this, Job lived. I want to just press this in. There is an after this. You may be reeling tonight. You may be shaken tonight. You may be disturbed tonight. But don't put a period on the end of that place that you're at. There is an after this. Halalamahusha. There is life after what you're going through. There is a flag that you can wave that says victory is mine. Amen. After this, after you've drank the cup, after you've suffered the suffering, after you've been through the grist mill, God has got a tomorrow. Am I talking to you? All right, let's look at Job lived after this 140 years. That's good. Suppose he would have caved in. Suppose he would have thrown in the towel. Suppose he would have said, I can't bear it no more. Why are you doing this to me, God? Suppose he'd have been humanistic in the same plateau we are. They would have had his funeral, they'd have gone by and bid him goodbye. See, when you take a stand, I don't care how the tide is coming in against you, when you put your foot down and you take a stand, God will take a stand. Am I talking to anybody? He saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. So Job died being old and full of days. May God bless the reading of the word, and let us be touched by the power of the Spirit of God. Can I get a witness out there? Lord God, tonight I have read your holy word. We've had such a move of your Spirit. The building has been full of the power and Spirit of God. You've been gracious to us, benevolent to us, Lord. You've looked upon us with favor, and we just bask in that you've done. But now help us to embrace the word. Help us to hold on to the word, to lock it in our spirit. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. First Corinthians 15 and 58, you shall reap in due season if you faint not. Do you hear? Do you understand that? You may not be reaping tonight. You may not be absorbing tonight, but give yourself some time. You will reap. Amen. Do you believe that? In every life, in every believer, there's gain and losses. There's things that you go through and things that you survive. But the scripture that I read to you speaks about being brought to a large place, to a place of glory and expansion. And we reflect upon the cost of the large place. What did it cost this psalmist David? He said, I went through this and I went through that, but you brought me to a large place. What? There's a lot of people that want the large place. There's a lot of people that want the flag of victory after the battle, but they don't want the battle. Hello? There's a lot of people that want the benefits, but they don't want to endure anything. But God's will is that if I'm going to have the benefits, I've got to set my mind to go through the large, the tight places. Am I talking to you? I can't evade them. There's a lot of people want the trophy of victory, but they don't want the battle. Let me put it before you truly, sincerely, right. Don't enter this Christian race thinking that it's going to be just nothing to it. I'm not being pessimistic. I'm not being negative. But if you've locked yourself on the well, I'll always have utopia. You're in the wrong realm. But here's the proper realm. Here's the balance of it. Irregardless of what you go through, you have got a promise from God that you're going to be able to take it. Not just take it, but you're going to be able to overcome it. I wish somebody would say amen. So look at Job now. Look at some of the biblical characters who went through the tough times of their life, suffered many things. Look at him in chapter 42. He's been a prosperous man. He's been a well-to-do man. Walk by him when he's in that latter part that I read. Hey, Mr. Job, you're the richest man around. You must have inherited something. You must have been found favor with God. Look at you, all the livestock you've got, all the prestige that you've got. How did you do that, Mr. Job? Mr. Job would say, well, sit down. Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you how I did attain this. I got this after I lost everything. Hello? He would say, you want me to tell you the story about how this come about? I don't understand the counsel of heaven. I don't understand how God did this, that, and the other. But there come a day when the devil swooped down upon me, and I begin a process of losing. I lost my family. I lost my livestock. I lost my health. I lost everything that was attainable. I had nothing left. Zip, zero, nothing. And I sit there in my driveway in the ash pile, scraping the sores that were oozing from my body. I had nothing. It was over with. I didn't see tomorrow. I didn't see down the road. But I had two things going for me. That's all I had, two things going. Number one, I knew that my Redeemer lives. I knew that he lives. Amen? And I knew that he knew where I was. I knew that I could count upon him. Let me tell you something, friend. When the framework that you're standing on begins to totter, don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Because your victory, we sing a song, don't give up on the verge of a miracle, on the brink of a miracle. Job said, you want to know how I got this? I became willing to lose everything. Amen? I didn't try to hold on to it. When the news come, my cattle were gone. I said, they're gone. When it come, all my life, it's gone. When my children, they're gone. I'm still here. I didn't give up. I didn't quit. I didn't whine. I didn't whimper. And I didn't know that God was doing the things he's doing. I didn't know that God was going to allow me to go and put me through the test. I don't know what you're going through, but it might be the hand of God saying, I've got a better place for you. I've got a bigger place for you. It might be God saying, I'm going to expand you. Don't just wither and wilt. Don't just throw in the towel and say, I can't take that. You can take it. Hello? You can overcome. If you're on the borderline of saying, well, I can't hardly, I just as well give up. Let me tell you something. Don't you dare think that. Don't you dare say, well, I just as well give up. It is no time for giving up. It's a time for going on. It's a time for overcoming. It's a time for being victorious. Don't even entertain the idea that you might not make it. You will make it. You'll make it because God is the helper. He's a very present help in the time of need. You are going to make it. God said you would make it. He said you can do all things through him which strengtheneth you. You're not going to have to quit. You're going to win. Oh, glory to God. When you come into the kingdom of God, you come on the winning side. You didn't come on the debate side, the losing side. Talk to Job and say, Job, you must have been special. God must have loved you. Job said, no, you don't know. You didn't see me when I was before this. You didn't see me. I had everything and I lost everything. Amen. But when I lost everything, I didn't go on a tour blaming God. When I lost everything, I maintained my integrity. I knew that, and I knew not only that God lived, but I knew I would see God. I'd see him for myself. I wouldn't read a fairy tale about it. I wouldn't read a mystery book about it. I wouldn't read somebody else's testimony, whom I shall see for myself. I shall behold for myself. I'm going to, oh, do you hear what I'm saying? I don't know when it's going to be. I don't know how soon it will be. But blessed be God, I'm going to see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. I see God tonight. I see God in the lives of people. I see God in the faith of people. If somebody sitting near you, am I talking to you? You don't know what the person in front of you has gone through. You don't know what they're wrestling with. You don't know what they're grappling with. Doubts and all kinds of situations. But they're in the house of God. Ask Job. Said, you must be favored. You must be special. Job would say, I'm not special. No, nobody promised me that I'd rebound. Hello, church. I didn't get no inside information that said, just hold on because I'm using you for an example. God did not whisper in Job's ear and say, if you'll hold true, I'll reward you. None of that stuff. He don't know, but there come a time when the tide turned. The Bible says in 42 of Job that God turned the captivity. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know who you are tonight. But God has got a table turner for you. God has got a take a shot of botai. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen? He's got a tide turning. He knows how to turn what you, he knows how to change what you're in, to change where you're at, to change how your mindset is. God is able tonight. Am I talking to you? Am I, amen? Hallelujah. Oh, he's on the street. Job's on the street. His children are dead. And there's a mockery to the community. Don't you look at Job. He used to be rich. And that's what the devil is trying to do to people. He's trying to pull you down so that people will look at you and say, where is your God now? Hallelujah. I hear the 42nd Psalm. As the scripture says, my tears have been my meat day and night while they continue to say, where is your God? Let me tell you something right now. I got an answer for that. He's the same place he was when they hung his son on the cross. He's not changed. He's real. He's there. And at some point, my blessed God, at some point, he's going to step down the balconies of glory. And the Bible said, the Lord shall roar from Zion. He's going to come in and he's going to just lift you up out of your mess. We had this. That was awesome tonight. Walking across here, reading the signs. And then I looked on mine and said, Parkinson's. Oh, my Lord. You know, there was a time it would have shattered me. But it's not shattered me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't know what the future holds, but I know that God is able. I'll go to my grave knowing that God is able. I will never doubt that God can't do it. I will never compromise and God say won't and say God won't do it. I'm day by day, one day at a time. Hallelujah. Am I talking to you? Glory to God. Job undergoes and he overcomes. Amen. His life was a roller coaster. His life was up and down. But listen, your pain and your suffering may be a result. Listen to me. Your pain and your frustration and your distress may be a result of God nudging you to a higher plateau. He tries to, am I talking to you? He tries to lead us to higher things. He tries to lead us as a shepherd does a sheep. But sometimes we don't follow so easily. But God's got weight. God wants me to be higher than what I am. God wants me to be stronger than what I am. God wants me to be expanded more than what I am. And sometimes he just puts that. He didn't put this Parkinson on. I'm not getting into all that stuff. But let me tell you something. It might be that you're going through some junk tonight just so that you'll get back on your knees to pray. Am I talking to you? Hello? Your pain, your suffering may be a result of your journey to a... Look at it positive. I'm going somewhere. Amen? I'm going somewhere. I'm going to a higher plateau. I'm going to a higher place. In Genesis chapter... Somebody's... In Genesis chapter 37 through 42, there's a story about Joseph. Joseph is... He's a wealthy place. He's going doing good. And ask Joseph... Look at him. He's got the Egyptian clothes on. Look at Joseph and say, Joseph, you're the second man in Egypt. You're prestigious. You're recognized. You're somebody in Egypt. How did you get this position, Joseph? Did they recognize that you got talent? How did you go from being a Hebrew to being the second man in Egypt? How did Joseph, tell me about this. Maybe you got charisma. Maybe you got pull. Joseph say, you want to know how I got this? Let me tell you the road I took. I had a dream, and I told my dream to my brother, and I told my dream to my parents, and it began to backfire. You want to know how I got this? Some of you need to remember how you got to where you're at. You need to remember that wreck could have killed you. Amen. That automobile could have, whatever. But God spared you. God helped you. Amen. And ask Joseph, how did you... You must have inside information. You must have had inside pull. You want to know how I got here? I told my dream to my brothers and it backfired. I thought they'd appreciate their younger brother having a dream, but they threw me in a pit. You want to know how I got here? The road to greatness is sometimes in the pit. The road to greatness is sometimes in betrayal. You're going to be tried, my friend. Am I talking to anybody? You're going to be probed. You're not going to be left alone. And Joseph would say, I ended up in Egypt not by my own volition, not by my own will. I ended up in Egypt. I don't know how I did it, but God said. How? And Joseph said, but here's the thing about it. I ended up in this position through the power of God and through the hand of God, but I was willing, I did not, are y'all ready for this? I did not sit around and complain. When I was in the pit, I didn't whine. Come on, church. When I was in prison, I didn't try to get out. When I was in Potiphar's house, I tried to maintain my integrity and flee fornication. Every step of the way, everything that was adverse to me, I took it in stride. Am I talking to you? I didn't get the prayer chain going. I didn't get this, that, and the other. I said, God, you know where I'm at. Joseph is away from his family. He's isolated, but he's going through trauma and travail. Oh, you want to know how I got here? Let me tell you the road that I took. It had ups and downs in it. And some of you could sit here tonight. You could stand up and say, you want to know how I got here? I got here through the bumps and grinds of life. I got here through betrayal. I got here. If it had not been for the Lord on my side. Am I talking to you? Joseph would say, I didn't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to be the ambassador. I'm going to be the minister of whatever in Egypt. But God saw it. And God said, I need a man to be in Egypt at the right intersection of time. And God said, I think I've got my man, and his name is Joseph. I'm going to put him went through the fire and through the water. Some of you going through the fire. Some of you going through the water. Some of you been through both of it. Some of you just come out of it. And you got a testimony. That's the issue right there. Do you have a testimony? Are you able tonight, if somebody can approach you, are you able to stand up and say, let me tell you what God did for me. If it had not been for God, I would have been consumed. Ask Joseph, how did you get this? Joseph would just say, it was God. Joseph was not bucking for position. He was not clamoring for recognition. He was not doing. He drank the cup that God put in front of him. Father, if it be your will, remove this cup from me. That's Jesus praying. That's Jesus uttering. But nevertheless, if it be not your will, not my will, but your will be done. And Jesus took the cup and drank every drop of it. Every drop of it. He didn't. That's how you. How do I gain? How do I excel? How do I attain? How do I achieve? Quit trying to row the boat by yourself and let God guide you. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Quit trying to work it all out yourself and say, God, I'm going to follow you. I believe I'm telling you. See, people want to try to plot their own course. If Joseph would have, if he'd have been the modern believer, he would have had all kind of manuals and books, and he would have got 3 points in here. But he just said, if I'm in the pit, God knows I'm in the pit. If I'm in Potiphar's house, God knows all that's going on. He believed that God saw everything going on. Am I talking to you? Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. See, by not complaining, 10 times, beginning 3 days after the Red Sea, 10 times Israel bellyached. They wouldn't embrace where they were at. They wouldn't embrace the bitter water. They fought. The waters are bad. The food is bad. This is bad. This is, wish we would have been back in. You can never get to where God wants you to be if you're hanging around remembering what you used to be. That's what bothers me about these people going on tours around with the gospel groups. And I was 19 years, I was a drug addict. 27 years, I was whatever. That makes these young people think, well, if I'm going to really be a star, I better go down that road. Don't go down that road. The most admirable people around is the people that did not fall into those traps. And we need to hold them up as an example to the young people and say, you don't have to, just because this is, you don't have to do that. Joseph, see, 10 times they bellyached. They bellyached about the food, the manna. We don't like the manna. And can you imagine? Angel food. And then they come to the bitter waters. We had water to drink. We don't like this. And God said to Moses, there's a tree. Cut the tree down. Let it go into the water. That tree is the cross. And that cross will sweeten anybody's water up. Amen. Joseph said, they go 10 times murmuring and grumbling, complaining. Wish we'd have been back, had the onions and garlics and leeks to eat and all that stuff. And after a while, God said, here's the deal. They don't deserve. Come on, church. I've got a place for them. I've got a territory for them. I've got perks for them. I've got blessings for them. And they do not deserve it. They don't earn it. They don't. And I know you can't earn your blessings, but are you hearing what I'm saying? So God said, here's what I'm going to do. They're bellyache them. Y'all, come on. They have bellyached themselves, they have griped, and they have complained themselves out of the blessings that I have for them. I wonder if there's anybody in the room, I'm not judging, I'm not trying to, I wonder if there's anybody in the room tonight that you have complained yourself out of a blessing. I don't want you to raise your hand. It happens. Am I right? It happens. If the preacher preaches on money, and the Lord's been dealing with me about this now, it's graveyard quiet in here. People will get more upset when a pastor or an evangelist speaks about money than they will anything in the world. That's because they're selfish. I didn't get no amens. What I'm trying to say to you is, if you have a battle with tithing, you got a battle with God. You're not fighting the church. You're not fighting. The church is going to survive one way or the other. You're not fighting the church. You're not fighting the preacher. You're fighting God. And there's never been a man that fought God that won. And for the last month, we winding up on this series on Wednesday night of Revelation. Last Wednesday night, wind that up. And I've been praying for the last month. Give me guidance. I don't like to just take on Wednesday night or Sunday night. I don't like to just take a stab in the dark and throw a dart at the dartboard and say, that's what we're going to. I pray that God would give me something that would be effective, that would be proper, edifying. Hello? And I've gone through everything. I've got spiritual warfare. I've gone through the study of the book of Daniel. I've gone through. And it always comes back to teach stewardship. Hello? It is required. I knew when I opened that door up. And I just feel this in my spirit because we've got some new people in church. And what kind of pastor would we be if we didn't teach our people the whole concept? They debate, well, that's Old Testament. Well, there's other things you believe in that's Old Testament. Oh, let me go ahead. Joseph, how did you get where you're at? How did you prosper? How did you have, look at you, you must have had somebody pulling for you. No, I didn't have anybody pulling for me, Joseph would say. I didn't have anybody bucking for me. Here's how I got, I drank the cup that I was given. I committed my ways unto the Lord, believing that He would direct my paths. Am I talking to anybody? I believe that God was with me. I believe that if God is for me, who can be against me? And God promoted me. Promotion does not come from the east or the west, but it comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. Am I talking to you, church? So listen, hello? He says, I accept. Or do you accept what God puts in front of you? Do you accept the road that, see, we, oh, hallelujah. So your attitude will abort your role in life. King Saul, am I talking to you? King, anointed by God's man Samuel, everything going for him, but he lost it because he did not want to go to go the biblical way. Hello, church? And so then look at David. David, how did you get where you're at? Look at you, David. You got the crown on your head, and you were the king over three tribes, and then seven tribes, and you are really somebody, David. Look at the crown. And David would say, let me tell you about this. Let me tell you how I come to this crown. Are y'all, hello? Let me explain to you the steps at this. I was a shepherd boy. And God measured, this is my language, and God measured how big this crown would be. And God put it on a shelf. And God said, in due season, I'll put the crown on you. But I got to find out, are you going to be worthy? I got to find out, are you going to be capable? That's the best word. Are you going to be capable of wearing this crown? There's a crown laid up for you. And the devil is doing everything he can to abort that, doing everything he can to keep you from that crown. Is the measurements are there. He is capable. You are capable. And the devil says that you're not going to have that crown. Hello? Y'all strange tonight. You want to know, David said, you want to know? I was measured, so to speak, for a crown. But I didn't get that crown when I was 17 years old. I didn't get that crown when I was 20 years old. That crown was there waiting. But let me tell you how I got the crown. I was fighting. I was a shepherd. I was just a nobody. And I was looking out for my father's sheep. And there come a bear and a lion. And that's a ferocious deal. And David said, I attacked them. I mastered them. Then, you know, I mastered Goliath. You want to know how I got this crown? Paul said there's a crown laid up for us. You know the shame, the heartbreak of it, there's going to be some people that the crown is there that the people are not going to get there. Do you understand that? Crown with your name on it. There's a crown laid up for me. Not only for me, but for all those that love his appearing. Amen? We shall wear a robe and a crown is what the song said. Well, David said, you want to know how I got it? My son undermined me and won the heart of the nation. And I had to flee Jerusalem from my son. You remember that? Barefooted, with my head covered. People canceling me, saying, don't run. And he said, should we bring the ark? David said, if God wants me back in Jerusalem, he will open the door. But until then, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. David understood the principle of don't resist. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord. They run, he flees. And Absalom is cold-hearted. He's going to be a king. You want to know how I got this crown? I got it by watching my son try to undermine me. You want to know how I got this crown? I got it through betrayal. You want to know how I got this crown? I got it through dodging javelins. I was triggered. I was plotted on. You want to know how I got this crown? I'll tell you how I got it. I got it through everything I ever went through. I survived. Amen? Hallelujah to God. I mean, of course David messed up. And if you want to patternize yourself after somebody, there's only one that you can do it with, and that's Jesus. That's Jesus. Anybody else, you're prone. Anybody, if you want to have somebody to mentor, there's just nobody with a flawless record. Nobody. But here's who you pattern. Let me give you some relief. Here's who you pattern your life after. Here's who you follow. Here's who your mentor ought to be. The man or the woman that has laid their life on the altar. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to go through some confusion. But you want to follow somebody? Follow somebody that's got the fire burning. Follow somebody that's got the zeal of God, that they've laid their personal ambitions. And I've watched in these 35 years as people in this auditorium, as they have laid their all on this altar. Hello? I'm looking at people all over this auditorium tonight, that your whole mind, your whole soul, your whole body, your whole being is God-centered. You're not coming to church for what's in it for you. You're not coming to church to sing your melodies. You're not coming to church to show your music off. You're coming to church to honor God. Amen? David said, you want to know how I got it? I was a king over three tribes, and then I was made king. And for 40 years, I wore a crown. For 40 years. It didn't come easy. Betrayal, people killing, you want to know how you can wear a crown? Put up with something. Am I right? Take it. If they hit you on one cheek, turn the other one. If they lie about you, smile at them. Don't take vengeance on nobody. Don't try to rock nobody's boat. Just go on and let God take care of the battle. Do you believe I'm telling you the truth? Ask David. Let me hold him before you. Amen? Are y'all going to give me a couple more minutes? Am I saying anything to you? To appreciate David's life, you got to know his life. He's scorned by his brothers. He was isolated. He was in everything you could think about. If you're looking for flawless people, there are none in the Bible. Moses lost his temper. Abraham told a lie. On and on it goes. But look to that person that's got their laid their life. I remember when I got saved. I know you do, when you got saved. I remember it was not somebody canceled me, but I saw people around me that I knew had they were pulling for God. Thirty-five years ago, when I moved here, I started meeting people that were pulling for God. They were pulling for God. Their whole life was, you know, we had people. Oh, should I? For 2-3 years, we had people that wouldn't even take a vacation. Oh, they took a vacation. Should I go ahead and say? But they wouldn't go nowhere. And you know what they said to me? Some of you are in here in this building right now. They said, we're on vacation next week, but we don't want to leave our church. They didn't say we don't want to leave our pastor. None of that stuff. We don't know. Back in those days, it was all stricken because you didn't know what was going to happen when you got to church. I mean, you knew something was going to happen, but you didn't know what was going to happen. You could have gone home and wrote a card and say, this is what happened in your diary. This is what happened tonight. This is the kind of service we had tonight. And two more nights and we'd be back in church again. Or this afternoon, we'll be back in church. And we would go to the prayer room. Oh, y'all, we'd go to the prayer room, that little choir room there, the Sunday school classroom. And it sounded like Niagara Falls. It'd be about 6 or 7 men in there praying, on the other side women, and the building was smoking, just pulsating, and people praying. Oh, am I talking to y'all? Help me, Jesus. Go ahead. Say amen. David, you want to know how these people come to where they are? You know how to get to the large place? You get it by letting God guide you. Let God guide you. Go to Jesus. Jesus, you're seated at the right hand of majesty. Look at, oh, Jesus, you must have just exercised all kinds of power. You must have done so many things for you to be in this exalted. The Bible calls him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Says he's Alpha and Omega. Oh, Jesus, you nobody like you. And Jesus would say, you want to know how I got this position? I was rich, but I became poor. You want to know how I got this position? I gave my back to the smiters. You want to know how I got this position? You want to know? I didn't get it through political elevation. I didn't get it through pulling the string. You want to know how I got this? They pulled the hair out of my face. You want to know how I got this? I could have called legions of angels, but I knew it wasn't my God's will. I let him dictate it. Come on, church. I let him plot the course. You want to know how I got this position? They put a crown of thorns on my head and blood ran down. You want to know how I got this position? It didn't come easy. It didn't come easy, but it was the will of God. Come on, church. You want to know how Jesus would answer it in my little thing here? Jesus would answer, say, let me tell you how I got this position. I got this position by giving everything I had up. Lo, it's written in a book, I come to do thy will, O God. You want to know, I didn't just come up here and get out and sit upon a throne. No, I went through turmoil. I went through the fire. I went through the water. But God brought me to a large place. Oh, my God. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a large place for us. There's a place bigger than what you are. There's a place larger than what you are. Sometimes I'll click on YouTube and there's a man in Brooklyn named Bill Wilson. He has the largest Sunday school in America. And it's the most humbling thing to watch him. He's no fanfare. He's been stabbed. He's been robbed. He's just been abused. He can hardly talk above a whisper. People ask him, say, why don't you just bail out? Go ahead, and you've done a great thing. But he's got a fleet of these drop-down trucks he's got crews that work with him, and they go into a neighborhood on a regular schedule. It's not hit and miss. And they drop the side of the fleet down, and they give a Bible story, a lesson, an object lesson. And people ask him, people say, Bill Wilson, why don't you throw in the towel? Why don't you quit? Why don't you've proven your point. Just quit. He said, God appointed me. Not the denomination. God appointed me. This is my parish. This is where I belong. And the knife, the stabbing, the cutting, that's not an issue. The issue is I want to be working. Well, you want a large place, Bill Wilson? Yes, I want it. Yeah, if that's the will of God, well, then keep on what you're doing. The in Phoenix, Arizona, one of the largest Assemblies of God congregations in America, Tommy Barnett, some of y'all, and they asked him, he went to Phoenix to plant a church years ago, and he began to get mobilized and find out, they said, what is your principle? What is your pattern? He said, when I moved here, God said you're to build a church out of people that nobody else wants. Isn't that amazing that there's a lot of people that nobody wants? Isn't it heartbreaking that there's people that you're not good enough? Your skin is the wrong color, your creed, your background. Isn't it heartbreaking? But he began to bring them in wheelchair. They bring God honors it. Am I talking? Hello? You want to grow, you want to get to that large place? Then go through some things. It's a process. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. There's one word, right, and Brother Jay and I, there's one word in the middle of that verse. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But, somebody say but. The Lord delivereth him out of them all. How many? I don't know why Brother Fraley is I'm not going to try to be no expert. I'm not going to try to be a theologian. I don't know why that his eyes are in the shape they're in now. I don't know why you're in the shape physically that you're in. I don't know all that. But I do know one thing. I am going to a city. If in this hope, in this life we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. Hold on. The tide will change. The events will change. Hello? So Job comes to the conclusion of it. Jesus, they buried Jesus, put him in the tomb, and he came out. Everything that happens to you could be motivating you toward God. Hello? Have you understood what I've tried to preach tonight? Sometimes anguish comes. Hannah is in the temple. She's not making a scene. She's not making noise. She's in the temple praying silently with anguish of spirit. God is getting ready to move her to a larger place. She's been through the water. She's been through the fire. She's been mimicked and made fun of by this other wife. She takes her petition to the temple, to the tabernacle. She don't even tell Eli what the deal is. It's private, personal between her and God. She's kneeling down, she's praying silent, but God is getting ready to move her to a large place. Eli comes by and says, what's the problem? You're drunk. See, when you're in the stress of trying to go to a large place, people don't understand it. They don't understand the anguish of your soul. They don't understand why you do some of the things you do. It's out of the ordinary. And Eli said, "You're drunk." She said, "Oh, no, I'm not drunk. I'm in anguish of heart. What's the problem? I don't have a child." And that old man said, "You have one." She was in the process of increasing, of expand, of going to a, hello? I look at people in this auditorium. And I see, with all the devotion in my heart, I see people that hardships have come. Some of you have helped. Some of you have handled them better than others, perhaps. Maybe you handled yours better than I handled mine. But I'm going to tell you, God is aiming believers to a large place. Hello? It's God's will. Do you believe that? Whatever you have gone through, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a child, whatever you've gone through, financial setback, look at it as God elevating you. Hello? Look at it as, I'm serious. Whatever the devil does, I feel the Spirit of God. If you just knew what maybe some of that are around you are going through, maybe you'd have a different attitude, a different thought pattern about them. I don't know. In 1948, there was not a nation called Israel. But they began to travail because of that Holocaust. They began to pray. And God brought them out into a large place. Would you stand with me tonight?